You remember that they came into the wilderness of sin on the 15th day of the second month. Remember now, they come out of Egypt on the 14th day of the month Abib, which was the first month. That was the beginning of their year, the beginning of months. The Lord set it up for them. And now they're in the second, and we're a little later on, we're going to get into the measurements and teach you the measurements and the months, so you'll know what they're talking about in the Hebrew tongue. The Lord's liable to send one of you folks to Jerusalem. The Bible said, out of Zion shall come forth to deliver. You might be one of them. If you go preach to the Jew, you better believe you're going to have to know the law. All right, now then, if you can turn that law into spirit to the Jews, I believe you'll have a congregation and you'll have a reception. But anyway, now, in the 15th day of the second month, they were in the wilderness of Sin. And then in the third month, they were in Sinai. So that makes us to know that 15 days into the second month, eliminate that 15 days, that puts you back in the month of Abib. That means that all the way from Etham, or from Egypt, down to perhaps somewhere in Elam, we can't pinpoint it because the scripture don't give it, but maybe down to about Elam or somewhere there, they must have made that journey during the month Abib. It must have been the first month doing, and because the second month, 15th day, they're found in the wilderness of Sin. And how many of you know now, Brother Taylor can go along with this, and we'll pick it up here if you want to. How many of you know now that when they were in the wilderness of Sin, that God fed them with the manna and with the fowls, or the potterages and so forth, quails. Now, how many of you know that the manna there, the Bible said it bred worms if they held it over one day, unless God told them to hold it over. But now, on the day he told them to hold it over, it didn't breed worms. And he put it in the pot, in the golden pot, and it still didn't breed worms, and the Bible said he kept it for all their generations. All right, now then, how many of you understand that it was here in the wilderness of Sin that God visited them with this substance from heaven? In other words, it was in the wilderness of Sin, and he backed off out there in a cloud and spoke to them and told them he was the Lord God and so forth. And there in the wilderness of Sin, God did these great things. Now, he tried the people. The Bible said he did this to try the people to see if they would follow and see to build their faith in God day by day. All right, now, how many of you know that it was here in the wilderness of Sin, coming on down to Rephidim, that when we get down to Rephidim, we get to the Mount Horeb, remember, where the pillar of fire was? All right, now God took Moses from the sheep here at the pillar of fire and sent him down into Egypt. And remember, he sent Zipporah, his wife, back to his father-in-law. How many of you remember that? Now, he sent her back, and he sent his son Gershon and Eliezer back to Jethro. Now the Lord hadn't given him his wife and children back till he got to the wilderness of Sin and got over there in Rephidim. And then here comes Jethro, his father-in-law. See, when he come right back to where God took him from, a symbol of the bride, here comes Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, coming there, bringing the two sons and bringing also his wife to him when he got to the pillar of fire. All right, now, according to the Bible, here Jethro gave him some good advice. Some of you are familiar with the advice he gave Moses. He saw Moses, I remember they had the battle with Amalek here, and they won the fight and so forth. And here we find Moses sitting all day long to judge the tribes of Israel and try to explain things to them. And Jethro, he come over, and Moses told him about the great things that God had done to the Egyptians and how that he delivered Israel. And Jethro said, now I know that this is the only true and living God, and he made offerings unto God and sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Bible said that Aaron and the elders of Israel come up there and they ate with him of the sacrifice and so forth, ate with him as he sacrificed unto God. And then he told Moses, Moses said, what are you doing? And Moses told him, said, I'm judging the tribe. And he said, this thing that you do is not good. He said, for you'll soon wear away. He said, but take men out of the tribe that hates covetousness, men of truth, that love truth and so forth, and set them over the tribe, make them judges, over thousands and over hundreds and over fifties and over tens. And he said, all right, Bill, well, he did this. He obeyed the father-in-law. Now remember, Moses has got his wife back with him now and got his children back with him. And his tribulation, you might say, that was caused him to be separated from his wife and children over in the land of Egypt is now gone. And now here he's back with his family. All right, now they enter into the wilderness of Sin. Now, being about the third month into Sinai here, they go into Sinai. All right, now, when they get into Sinai, over here in the wilderness of Sinai, now this is where God really deals with them. Now, last night we went through some of that, where that he went up on the mountain, and the Bible said that the mountain burned with fire, and the lightning, and the thunderings, and so forth, fell on the mountain, and the children of Israel got scared and got way off from the mountain and said, Moses, don't you let God speak to us. Said, you speak to us. Said, let God speak to you. See, a type of Jesus between the people and God. And so then you see here on the mountain, the symbol of Calvary being lifted up here. I told you the other night, run it over to Calvary, and you'll find out that it's the same identical thing. And also over to the book of Revelation. All right, now then, the veil here is being rent in twain. We find this thing happening. Alright, now, I believe this. I'm just saying this. I might be wrong about it. Paul said it's not the Lord, but it's me, and I speak as one that believe I have the Spirit of God. Now, I believe with all my heart, remember there was 12 tribes of Israel, and that breastplate that we'll get to tonight denoted the 12 tribes. We done been through these things, some of them, but we'll go through them again tonight if the Lord will allow us to do it. But now I want you to notice especially that later on, when they built the Ark of the Covenant, they put two covering cherubs over the Ark. All right, now, it was here in this mountain, we'll get to it in just a little bit, where he was given the outline of the Ark of this Testament. Now, I may be wrong, but I believe that this also denotes Joshua and Moses. I'll tell you why I believe that. These are the two that led them out. And these were the two that was around that mercy seat of God, always doing the talking. And if you'll notice, the Bible teaches that on the second occasion there where we're bringing out tonight, that this mountain, that Joshua went with Moses. We'll bring it out in just a little bit and I'll show you. Now then, if you'll notice, up here on the mountain, according to the Bible, Moses enters into the cloud and all these things take place. All right, he comes back down out of the cloud. And he was all upset. Remember, God gave him the Ten Commandments. All right, now, he not only gave him the Ten Commandments, but this was just the beginning of this thing. All right, Mount Sinai. Yes, over here, Mount Sinai. All right, now, if you'll notice, Aaron and Joshua and the sons of 70, the elders, and the Bible said that they all went up here into the mountain. Now, this is really something. They went up into the mountain. God called them up into the mountain. Now, the Bible said God came down on the mountain this time, and his countenance was like a burning, blazing, terrible fire that would just reach out and consume the people. And the Bible said the trumpet sounded, and for 6 long days, God didn't speak. For 6 days, it just Moses just stayed there. For 6 days, and on the 7th day, God spoke and said, Moses, come into the cloud. All right, but now notice, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, along with Aaron and Joshua, they went up here into the mountain. Now, these men actually saw God Almighty. These men saw him. Not just Moses, but these men right here. Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, they saw God. The Bible said when the mountain began to burn that they looked and they saw God, said they saw the Lord God of Israel, and they saw him and said under his feet it was as though it was a paved sapphire like the transparent body of heaven with its clearness. And they saw God. The Bible said they did eat in his presence. They sat there and ate in his presence and saw God. And the Bible said that his hands did not come out against the 70 elders or the leaders of Israel. So then they saw God. But now I want you to notice something. These elders came up to hear, but according to the Bible, when they got up to hear, the Bible says that Moses turned to them and told them, said, you stay here. And the Bible said that Joshua rose up with Moses, and here God called him into the cloud, and Moses said, you stay here and wait for us, and we'll go up yonder, and then we'll come back. All right, now you find here that Joshua goes along with him, being Moses' minister, and it, again, you can see some type here of those covering cherubs, the two leaders of Israel. All right, now, one reaching halfway in the journey, another reaching the other halfway over the mercy seat of God. And it was through these men, under their covering, that God gave mercy to Israel. Now, what I want you to notice, though, here these great things took place. Moses came down out of the mountain after 40 days. He stayed up for 40 days a night. But now I want you to notice here, he was up there in the cloud with the Lord, up there, and God was pouring out his power upon him, and he gave the judgments. Now, he had given him some commandments for Israel, but now here he gives him some judgments that amounts to, it could be more, it could be less, but approximately 60 judgments that I counted that he gave unto him here concerning do's and don'ts as they journeyed through the wilderness. Now, it would take a long time. We couldn't even possibly go into them and get the lesson done. We'd just have to take it and read it. There's so much of them. But anyway, approximately 60 of them of do's and don'ts and what would happen to a person if they'd done this and wouldn't happen to a person if they'd done this and so forth and so on. But he gave it to Moses. And then here, the Bible teaches that after he gave this to him, he come down and later he said to Moses, and Moses to the people said, if you do these things, I will move sickness out of the midst of you, and I will put upon you none of those things that I brought upon the Egyptians. So we get the scripture here. This is where it comes in at, that I will put none of these things upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, and I will move sickness out of the midst of you. All right, now, to obey his laws. Okay, now he come down off of the mountain, but while he was up there, remember he got these judgments, and he also got the dimensions for the ark and got the layout of the tabernacle, and the blueprint was shown him in the where he said, make all things, Moses, according to that which I've shown thee in the mount. And so then you find him here with these things and making it all as it was in the mount. Now, just before we get over to the tabernacle part of it, which we'll go into in just a little bit to get that more clearly where you can get it down on paper because we didn't get it the other night, I want to tarry here for just a minute. Now look, we're dealing with the mountain. Now I'm just going to drop this in tonight. It's going to be out of kilt as far as tying it in with the lesson. It'll be out of kilt, but I believe that you'll tie it in a little later and maybe see what I'm trying to do. Now we're dealing with the mountain. Now, how many of you are acquainted with the Pyramid of Egypt? Now we're just going to drop this in. Like I say, it's going to be all out of proportion. You just have to absorb it and then we'll get back on track here. But how many are familiar with the Pyramid of Egypt? Frank, can you draw us a pyramid? Now remember, the Pyramid of Egypt is the biggest of its kind. It's the biggest one they built. They say that it was erected in about 2170 B.C., which would make it probably 4,040 years old or somewhere around that time. You can figure it up and see probably better than I could. But anyway, they say that this pyramid is about like that. And remember that there is a door in the pyramid. Now, I give the particulars of it as best I can. It's got what they call a galley up in here. And it's got a passage that enters in here and goes down like that. It's got one or two passages leading off. Maybe, in other words, a passage coming in from a door over kind of to the east. It goes down like this and gets down about a quarter of the way. And it comes up like this into what they call a galley. Now, they believe, they're speaking spiritually, they believe that this galley from the beginning to the end represents from the Exodus until the coming of the Lord Jesus. And they got the whole thing kind of spiritualized there in what they believe. Different Bible scholars and things has, and it carries out the whole coming of the Lord Jesus. But anyway, what we want to do is, now notice, they say that until 825 A.D. that they didn't even know how to get into the pyramid. They didn't know whether there's a passage or not in there, but because of the old legends, you know, that there was silver and gold and wealth on the inside, well, somebody decided to see if they could get into it. Now, it's supposed to be built out of granite, I believe it is, or something like granite, and it was covered over with some white covering of lime and so forth, which probably is washed off by now. But anyway, here, the pyramid, when one of the Mohammedan leaders, a Mohammedan Caliph, I believe they call him, When he came in there, Elah, Mammon came in there, Manam, I believe that's the way you pronounce his name. Elah Manam came in there. He wanted to get the gold and silver, and he was determined to get in there. And what he did, he supposed that they had a door along in here, so he started to cutting right along in here. Only to find out, after going about, whoa, I don't know, 100 feet back in there, that he couldn't make any progress in finding the thing, and he's about to quit. And just by chance, God caused a little old stone to fall down, and they got kind of a holler sound, and they kept digging. And come to find out that he had missed the door, because there was a door in it that was hinged in the middle some way to where it would just open up just perfectly. Somebody had built it just perfectly, but it was a little bit east to there of where he was digging, all right, or cutting in there. Now, here's what I want to try to do. I want to try to bring out a little bit concerning it. All right, now first they say that this door revealed a passage that went down like this. Went down to a place that got marked as H, which they suppose was hell. A quarter of a way down, he come along here, and then the passage went up in a D that they suppose it must have had to do with the rapture of the church. Now, what I'm trying to say here is this passage that went down. You can see that the pyramid here also shows the powers of Satan and the place of Satan, because this little door in the inner parts revealed that it was made for an Alpha Dragonis. An Alpha Dragonis, just like you say Alpha and Omega. An Alpha Dragonis, which they say is the leading star of the constellation of the dragon that's in the elements, or the serpent. They say that's where it got its name, and that it was made for him about 2170 B.C. All right, now, the pyramid sits in the middle of Egypt, right, of just about in the middle of Egypt. And to give you some idea, behind it, which would be northward over this way, northward, now I believe the door is toward the east. All right, now, northward behind it would be Memphis of Egypt. And then in the front of it, which would be westward, would be the Mediterranean Sea, coming out like this, and over to the left, over in this direction, would be the Rosetta Stone that Alexander discovered when he went down there. And also they said that they did not find any such thing as embodiment, tombs, or hieroglyphics, or anything in the place that this particular one was not used for a tomb. Now, over to the right, I can't pronounce the name, but it's something like Diamond. Something like that over to the right, running down the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and then a place called Port Said. John might be familiar with that. He's been in that area, I believe. But Port Said, running off to the right. Now, notice this, that the Nile River is running like this. It's running like this, and on this side of the Nile sets the pyramid in the middle of Egypt, Memphis on this side, and just across the Nile is Cairo, Egypt. Right there, Cairo, Egypt, right there across from it. Now, I might get to see that someday. I'd love to be able to know the particulars a little more. But some of you are familiar with the Suez Canal that comes out of the Mediterranean Sea and comes down the edge running into the Suez Gulf. Well, anyway, that's just close to the Nile River. But now, the only thing they found in here was a hewed out sort of a box-like thing, hewed out of red granite or something. It was red, and it didn't have a lid on it or anything. It was big enough for a man to lay in. I really believe it tells a story. I hope one night we can just kind of teach on it and give the particulars of what I feel about it. But anyway, that's about all they found in there that they could put their fingers on. No furniture, no nothing in that. All right, now, I brought this in here for this purpose, to try to outline what little I knew about it, and to bring it right here. See where we are dealing with this mountain over here. Now, the capstone. Remember, Moses is back up here in the cloud, dealing up here in the cloud, and the Lord's up here. All right, now, let's go back to the mountain and leave the pyramid for now. All right, back here at the mountain, Moses comes down. Now, notice, while he's up there, he gets the dimensions of the ark, he gets the dimensions of the tabernacle, and I'm going to get Brother Taylor to draw the tabernacle. We gave these one time, and I'm going to try to remember the best I can. All of this preaching I have to go into by the Lord bringing it to me, because I ain't got no outlines or notes, and I just have to go into it. All right, now, here is the tabernacle. Now, Brother Taylor's going to draw the tabernacle, and I want him to draw me, we'll draw a 20 by 10. We'll draw a 20 by 10. No, I beg your pardon, a 30 by 10. All right, a 30 by 10. All right, now, this would be the tabernacle, and I'm going to try to explain it as best I know how to explain it. Now, we got here a 30 by 10. Now, over here, we're going to block this off into a 10 by 10 right here in the holies of holies. I see he's already got a veil drawn across here. Make this a 10 by 10 here, which would cut the tabernacle. Now, the whole thing is the tabernacle and just a veil that's separating here, the Ark of the Covenant in here. All right, now. Okay, now, here, this will be 10 by 10 in here. Now, that would take 10 feet away from this out here, so that would make that a 10 by 20 out there. So then the holies of holies would be a 10 by 10. The inner courts would be a 10 by 20. All right, now, in the particulars of this, as best we can relate it to you, notice now, here they used boards. The boards were one and one half cubit wide and 10 cubits long, I believe was the measurements of one board. And they used boards. They used 20 boards and put 20 boards on each side. Then they used 8 boards in the back here on this side. All right, now, about 10 cubits long, I believe it was, Brother Taylor. All right, now, can you step over to the other side a little bit, Brother Waggy? Okay, now then, notice now, this is 30 cubits by 10 cubits here. Are you staying with me? All right, now, we got our boards over here. Under these boards, they had what they called tenons. I guess it must have been the thing that sat down in the socket. And under here, they had two sockets under each one of these boards right here. The boards were out of gold. The hooks and the fillets up here for the hanging was out of gold. And these sockets was out of silver. And there was two sockets under each board. All right, now, this was the makeup all the way around. 40 sockets here, 40 sockets here, 20 gold boards here, and 20 here. And back here, there were 16 sockets because it was two to a board and 8. All right, now, up here, across here, they used 5 pillars across here, across the front of it. They used 5 pillars. All right, now, this was the doorway. I don't know if he might have had it like he hanged curtains or something open. But anyway, that's the way it was. It was made similar just like the rest of it around here. But it was the doorway. Now, according to the Bible, they took curtains, they made curtains here out of fine linen. And the color was blue and scarlet and purple. And it had beautiful cherubims. You know what a cherubim is? It had beautiful cherubims out of sewing. The women done the work. They had them do the work. Now remember, Bezalel was the one that made the Ark of the Covenant and these different things. God gave him skill to do it. He was of the tribe of Judah, the son of Uriah, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. All right, now, but remember, Aholiab was the one that dealt with the purple, was of the tribe of Dan. Now, if you'll watch that thing, you can see the Catholic movement in this thing, and watch what happened. All right, now, he was the one that had the power or the understanding to put the fine designs and things in the curtains of the cherubs and all this blue and purple and royalty and all these things. Aholiab, the son of Dan. Ezek, the son of Dan. All right, now, notice right here in these curtains, there was 5 curtains that was 28 cubits. There was 28 cubits long, 4 cubits wide, out of fine linen. That's around the tabernacle. All right, now there was 5 on one side, there was 5 on another. These curtains had 50 blue loops on the edges of them, on each one, but they come together and they had gold tatches that hooked them together down the curtains. This was the covering. This was the covering of the tabernacle. All right, now, above this, it had ram skin, red ram skin, dyed red. And then above that, it had badger skin. But next to the curtain here, the first thing they had was goat hair, was 11 curtains that was 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They hung over a cubit on each side around here, a cubit over, and then a half a curtain left over back here. And this was the front. The extra curtain was to come around to the front. Now, you understand that this is gold and gold hooks and silver sockets here. I want to give you a general outline as best I can of it. Now, in the holies of holies back here, they had an Ark of the Covenant sitting back here. Now, all of you know that Moses was saved in an ark, Noah and his family saved in an ark, and you know why they got the Ark of the Covenant. Said, I set my covenant in the sky, the rainbow, and the colors. And here it's commemorated with when the man goes in, he's got the breastplate of Urim Thummim, which is the covering of the breastplate here that's got the jewels in it. How many of you remember the breastplate? We'll try to get around to it in just a little bit. The rainbow, see, showing the rainbow. Now, over here, now first in the 10 by 10, the holies of holies, we got the Ark of the Covenant here. All right, now, how many of you remember the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant? 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high. Now, with a span of gold around it forming a crown, span of gold, that's about 3 palms according to the way we figured the other night. It was 2.5 long, 1.5 wide, 1.5 high. All right, now on the top of the ark, it was what they called the mercy seat. It was 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubit wide. All right, now the cherubs, as you know, was kind of like this and had their wings over like this over the mercy seat, touching each other, and their heads turned toward the mercy seat. Had kind of a tip-to-tip sort of a thing. All right, this is the best we can tell. Okay, now, coming out into the outer courts, that was in the holies of holies, and Bezalel is the one that built those things. Now, remember, God gave him skill to build them. Most of these things are built out of shittim wood. All right, now, coming outside of the veil, when we get outside the veil, right here, just outside the veil, there is a little table, 2 cubits high, 1 cubit wide, 1 cubit long. That is, it's square. It's 4 square with little horns all the way around it. 4 horns. All right, now, it is the incense table where he had to burn the incense. All right, now, that's right outside of here. All right, now, on the southern side of this tabernacle, on the southern side, here was the lamp that had the 7 blazes on it, which I believe represent the 7 spirits of God that never went out day or night, that burned from the olive oil and so forth. The Bible speaks of the candlesticks. We'll get some of that later on. All right, now, it was on the south side. Remember now, it's on the south side. Now, on the northern side is a table. On the northern side is a table. The table is 2 cubits long. It's just 1/2 a cubit shorter than the Ark of the Covenant. It's 2 cubits long, it's 1 cubit wide, and it's 1.5 cubit high. All right, now, some of you know that a cubit's about 18 inches. Some of them say it's 21 inches. Some of them say it's 18 inches. Now, how many of you got the dimensions on Noah's Ark the other day? We gave it out, didn't we? You gave it. 300 by 300 long, was 30 high and 50 wide? Okay. Now, I'm not going to try to break this down into inches. Now, we might figure up a little of it in inches to show you here how to figure it, but anyway, y'all can figure that because you know what it is. You can't be sure because they don't really know. They say it's either 18 or 21. somewhere in there. Some figures of 18, some figures of 21. All right, now, that was just outside the veil. Remember, this veil was made also out of fine linen, blue, scarlet, and purple. It had its silver hangings and so forth around the tatches, and it had beautiful work of cherubims in it. All right, now, right over here on the northern side was this table. The table, you got the dimensions. All right, now, on the top of this table, it had the shewbread. Had two little stacks, I'd say, of shewbread, six to a stack, each cake made out of one-tenth deal of flour, of fine flour, on the cake. They had to eat these things with the sacrifice, Aaron them did, because it was holy. Now, this is the inner courts. Now, you know what's in the holies of holies, 10 by 10? You know what's in the inner courts, 10 by 20? You know what's in there? All right? Now, remember your little table where Aaron, I'll try to go in this now, where Aaron burned the incense. Now, remember the Lord said you can't make any incense like this. Now, I think he got it down, but in case you hadn't, remember, it was to be made out of principal spices. It was to be made out of stacky, light, the Bible said light spices, lightweight, that is, out of stacky, out of onycus, and out of galbanum. That's what it had to be made out of. All right, then mixed with frankincense. All right, now, right here, this was where he put it. Had to beat some of it up, offer it here on this little altar right here. Every one of these things has to do with your salvation, friend. All right, now, right there. All right, now, they made an ointment that all of these things had to be anointed with, and God said if you make anything like it, that he'd cut you off from the tribe. Now, the Bible said that he took myrrh, 500 shekels of myrrh, and then he took 250 shekels of cinnamon, 250 shekels of calamus, and 500 shekels of cassia, and mixed one hin of olive oil. And like I said, we'll get to what a hin and those things are a little bit later, and then you understand a little better. All right, now he made this into an ointment like the apocryphal. All right, to have the sweet smell and for the anointing. All right, now you see what's in here. The light was shining against the shewbread, but the covenant is in here. All right, remember in the Ark of the Covenant, we had Aaron's rod that budded, right? All right, then we had the testament that he gave Moses right here on this blazing mountain right here in the Ark of the Testament. That's why this and that over Revelation and Calvary all fits together. All right, now, right here, he had Aaron's rod that budded. He had the manna in the golden pot here, and then he had the covenant. Okay, remember the first covenant was broken. He had the second covenant. That's, remember, Old Testament and New Testament. You got it? Nobody can keep the Old Testament. That's broken. No flesh can keep it. All right, but the New Testament, they can keep that. That's the second covenant. All right, now one was in the veil. All right, they had to look at it through the veil. Now we can't get into Revelation on unless the Lord really leads that way, because if we do, we won't give the basic fundamentals. Now we got the tabernacle, we got the holies of holies, we got the inner court, but now we've got to have around this tabernacle a court 100 cubits long. Remember now, it's got to be made out of fine linen. Just fine linen. It don't say anything about the cherub work here. It's just fine linen. There's 20 pillars of brass. 20 pillars of brass. Remember that when he made the goat's hair, he hooked it together with tatches of brass. He hooked the cherub work together, fine linen, with tatches of gold, and it was 50. Now we've got a cord that come out here. I should have had Frank to do that first. We've got a cord out here that's 100 cubits long, and it's 50 cubits wide. It's got 20 pillars on each side of it, north and south. Their pillars are brass. Their hooks and their fillets. Now, that is to say the little things that the curtains hook each other selves to, the poles and so forth. The fillets is silver, but the poles are brass and their sockets are brass. All right, now, on the back side, there is 10 pillars. On the front side, there's 10 pillars, made just alike. But on the front side, 20 cubits of the 50 cubits is taken out for a door. All right, there's three pillars over here on this side, three pillars over here on this side, and then that gives you four pillars in the middle. Because you got 10 pillars on the front, silver pillars. Now, this is the fashion of the court. All right, now, remember, they had a brazen altar. Now, you've got your lamp with your bowls, with your snuff dishes, and with the things that go with your work here in the inner courts, with your candle. You've got that. But now you're coming out here, and you got your brazen altar, which is a 5x5. Now, by the way, this is 100 cubits, 50 cubits wide, 100 long, and it's 5 cubits high. Right. Now, right here, the brazen altar is 5x5 and 3 cubits high. You'd probably have to have steps to get up to it to make an offering on it. It's got a brazen net on the inside. It's got ash pans, golden ash, brass ash pans, brass flesh hooks, and a basin, and all the things that go with it right here that we named them here the other night. It's got it that goes with the brazen altar right here. Flesh hooks and basins and ash pans and fire pans and so forth. All right? That's the brazen altar. It is also square like the little altar, but it has four horns on it too. Now, it's made holler. The Bible said it was made hollow, made out of boards, everything overlaid with brass. Now, when they had an offering, they had to come to the door of the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons, on some of the offerings, had to put their hands on the head of the beast and slay him. Now, I'm not going to get into the offerings tonight because that's in the book of Leviticus. Remember, we've been going through the book of Genesis, which is the pilgrimage, and then we've been going to the book of Exodus here, which is the coming out, and which also has to do with the setting of the tabernacle, and we'll get into Leviticus. That has to do with all the offerings and so forth. And this is tonight, it's going to take us over to the book of Leviticus. All right, now then, remember, along with this was the Ten Commandments and about 60 judgments that they had to keep. Just no further than we've gone in the book of Exodus. Now, to make this, the Bible said that they took a half a shekel from 600,000 men, or that is everyone above 20 years of age. Remember, when he come out of Egypt, they had 600,000 over there. When he come out of Egypt, just of men outside of the children. Everybody above 20 years old, a bekah, a half a shekel, which is 10 gerah. Right, now, this was a ransom for the soul. They had to give it for the year. Now, you remember we said to build this, the gold that was used in here, to do the gold work, we said there was 29 talents, 730 shekels of gold. Alright, then we said that there was 100 talents, 1,700, 315, which would be 75, talent or shekels of silver. 100 talents, 1,700, and 60 would be 16, and 15 would be, 75 is what it would be. So that would be the silver. Now for the brass, it was 70 talents and 2,400, or they had 2,400 shekels of brass. Now everything that was pinned together was pinned with pins of brass. Now this, it took all of that to make the tabernacle, Now, Aaron, to minister in this tabernacle, remember, for him to be able to minister in this tabernacle, the Lord, now how many of you remember that the Lord, I think you got this down, but the Lord told him in the mountain, when he went to make this tabernacle, have the people bring an offering of gold and silver and brass. All right, then he told him, now it was the metals that was to be brought in it. But he told him that he wanted him to bring fine linen. He wanted him to bring ram skin, dyed red, and goat hair. You remember that? All right, then he told him that he had to have shittim wood. Then he told him he had to have oil, had to have spices. Then he told him that they'd have to bring stones for the ephod. And we'll find out what they're for in just a few minutes. And then he had to have more stones for the Urim Thummim. Now, I'm saying for the Urim Thummim because that's what they actually come up for and that's what the others come up for. You'll find out that what he really done with them a little later. All right, now, this is what he got, what he took up. All right, now, he built this out of it, the curtains and different things out of it. But now, for Aaron to go in there, he's got to have a robe, a blue robe. Remember, the Lord told him that they'd have to have a girdle, a broided coat, an ephod, a mitre, a shield of gold, and all the Urim Thummim, that is the breastplate they called it. All right, now here's what the way they had to do that. Aaron had, just like the others, had to wear linen breeches made out of fine linen from his waist down to his thighs, and so did the sons. The sons had to wear a bonnet. They had to wear a bonnet. Aaron had to wear a bonnet, which was a mitre, but he had a gold plate that worked down in here some way, about like this around here, that had holiness to the Lord in here. Now, which was held on with a blue ribbon. Now, Aaron had the blue robe on. His sons had the bonnet, they had the coat of linen, and they had the linen breeches, and they had the girdle. But now, here Aaron, he's got the mitre on his head with the gold plate, holiness to the Lord, and he's got on the linen breeches. He's got on the blue robe that's just a solid robe. Just, he said the top was cut out like a habergeon up here to where it wouldn't be rent. Just one hole, he just slip it over. Around here, now we suppose, it may not be true, but around the hem of it, which could have been up along here, the base of it could have been here, and in the hem it could have been along here somewhere. But anyway, around the hem it had blue, scarlet, and purple. And it had a gold, it had a plum granite and a golden bale, a plum granite and a golden bale all the way around. And the Lord said, if you don't have these bales on when you come in, that I hear your sound to distinguish you from anybody else, I'll kill you. So he had to have them on. This was the sound. All right? Now, he had on the ephod, take like you slip on a duster, like a woman slips on a duster. He had on the ephod, and on the shoulder, the ephod, remember, was made out of blue, scarlet, purple, and so forth. And he had his girdle, just like you'd take a belt, probably, and tie around you if you had a robe just come out of the bathtub or something. All right? He had his girdle around, which was also made out of the blue, scarlet, purple, and so forth. Now, on his shoulder, he had the onyx stones right up here. Had the onyx stones right up here. Are you staying with me now? On each shoulder, he had the onyx stones right up here. All right. Now, in each one of these, they had little gold ouches that they set in. That was setting on the ephod. And each one of these had six names engraved in it of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, to bear the iniquity of the children of Israel before the Lord. Now, this is what he had on his shoulders. All right, then they had the breastplate, and the breastplate was out of cunning work, blue, scarlet, and purple, and was double. It went across his chest. It had little gold chains that hooked in the ouches and come down here for it to hang on, about like this is hanging on me right here. All right, then underneath the ephod, it had some rings here fixed to where they would be on the end of the breastplate and where they could take blue ribbons and tie it together where it would be attached to the ephod where he wouldn't lose it. Now, on his breastplate or on his heart, he had to bear these things before the children of Israel. Now, how many of you got it the other night? We brought it out here about the jewels that was in the... You got that marked down about the jewels? All right. I believe it was a sardis, topaz, and a carbuncle. We start off like that. Is that right? Okay. Now, on the, this is what we call the Urim Thummim. And he had this across his chest. He had it across his chest right here. And this was the beautiful conglomeration of colors that has to do with the foundation over in the city of New Jerusalem. Now, how many of you see here how that's tied together? How many of you see how that's tied together, the rainbow with the Ark of the Covenant? You see it? All right, now, here Aaron, when he come into this place, into the Holies of Holies, once a year he could go into the Holies of Holies here to make atonement for the sins of the people. He had to have that incense here. He had to minister to this lamp and this showbread and so forth, that this light could never go out. It had to burn all the time, in the morning and in the evening. This fire on this brazen altar could never go out. Now, when we get... I don't think you've ever read the book that we're putting out on spiritual conquest. But if you get a hold of it, this will really help you in what we're doing here, because it goes back and tells something about the brazen altar in Revelation, what it means in Revelation. And this fire could never go out. It had to burn all the time. Now, we can see here that God is in the midst. He said, Moses, build this that I might dwell in the midst of the children of Israel. Alright? Now, the breastplate of the Urim Thummim on Aaron here, going into the holies of holies before the Lord. This he had to do. The Bible said that on these stones was the name of each tribe. Now, how many, all of you staying with me tonight on these things? All right, now, put them down as we say them. A sardius, topaz, and a carbuncle. This is the 12 stones. An emerald, a diamond, and a sapphire. Or a ligua, topaz, and amethyst. A beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. You remember, every one of these has, they have the name of the children of Israel on them. It's the emerald, sapphire, and a diamond. Now, how many of you remember that right over here we just taught a few minutes ago that when they saw the Lord's feet, what did we say it was like? Where he's standing on a paved work of what? Sapphire. Sapphire, like the clearness of heaven. All right, now, each one of these stones represent the tribes of Israel. Now, you got the tribes of Israel down. We gave them to you the other night. The tribes of Israel. This is their birthstones. It always reminds me of that angel coming to me and asking me where was the stone of my birth. But anyway, there must be something to the stone of birth, because every one of them's got a birthstone here. And people today still give birthstones. Now, I purposed in my heart I wasn't going to go no farther than the tabernacle tonight. I said I wouldn't go no farther than the tabernacle because we was going to have enough to cover just in getting this. But how many of you now have absorbed this as far as your mind and getting it pinned down in kind of a continuity where you can remember it? All right, now we're going to try to say this, and we're going to try to come to a close here. According to the Bible, the Lord gave them approximately, more or less, 60 judgments. Now, maybe a few over, a few under, maybe right on it, but it's right around that. About 60 judgments that he gave them. He gave them the Ten Commandments. Then he gave them all these instructions of how to build a tabernacle where he could dwell in the midst of them. The curtains around here, I told you, was fine linen. And then, of course, this was out here at the gate right here. This gate out here carried back in here. We had, what was it, four pillars? Or it was five pillars. And back out here we had four pillars, three on each side over here, because the gate was 20 cubits. Now, if the Lord be willing, in our next lesson, we'll try to get into what Aaron had to do to be sanctified to offer these, and the offerings. If we can get the offerings in a continuity, then it will let us know something about the New Testament as to what we're doing today. Of course, you know this was 15 cubits over here and 15 cubits over here and 20 cubits in the middle is what it was, Brother Taylor. Three pillars on each side and then four pillars in the middle. All right, they were brass and had brass sockets and fillets and hooks of silver. All right. This is in Mount Sinai where all of this is taking place. And this last time that he goes up there, the Bible said it was like a defiling fire, the trumpet is sounding 6 days that he waits. And then on the seventh day, God calls him into the cloud. On the seventh day, and he gives him all of these things. He tells him all of these things. Now, he's got all of these things in his heart. I don't know how in the world he ever done it. But nevertheless, God put him in there, and then he come down out of the mountain. And when he come down, he had to have the mind of Christ, that's for sure. When he come down out of the mountain, then he put these things together and lined them up. And this is a general idea of what it was like. Now, I'm going to say this much here, and then we're going to try to pass on. We'll try to get into this a little more specific later. But there was three tribes on the east, three tribes on the west, three tribes on the north and three tribes on the south of the children of Israel. That's the way they camped. That was the camp around about the tabernacle. Now, got a 1, 2, 3, 4, counting the tribes. Because out beyond the tribes was... Now, I dropped this in for your benefit. You can tie it together. Washington, D.C., the United States, the United Nations, and without the gates, of course, are those that you find around about. All right. Now, like I say, we'll speak a little more specific. According to what I understand, the door of this tabernacle was setting eastward, to give you an idea, and the back of it was setting westward. Now, this is what I understand. It was setting eastward, westward, so that will let you know where north and south was. Eastward and westward. That way you'll know where your table was and where your shewbread is. Now, that's as far as we're going to try to go tonight. I hope that we've said something by the help of the Lord that will be beneficial to you.